Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you for joining us once again as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. And we'll continue here in our study going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 1. We've been looking at verse number 9 for the last couple episodes here, and it says, "For what they themselves show of us, what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." And what we're going to pick up today is looking at this issue of the individuals who made up this local assembly in Thessalonica, this idea of them turning to God from their worshiping of idols. Now, when we look at this idea of individuals turning to God, we know that this is exactly what God's will would actually be. Now, we've looked at, you know, the passage in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 4, where it talks about, "For it's God's will that all men would be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." And we know how the Apostle Paul looked at the idea of how his role in this. If we go over to Ephesians chapter number 3 for a moment, and we look at what the Apostle Paul says about how he functioned in his role as being the Apostle of the Gentiles. And here in Ephesians chapter number 3, we're going to start here verse number 7. Says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." And we see this issue of the Apostle Paul looking at his role and his responsibility and seeing the idea that for him, it was to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. This was the responsibility that he knew that he had as a member of the body of Christ. A responsibility that all members of the body of Christ has. And so this idea, when we see these individuals in Thessalonica who've turned in this way, an individual turns in that manner when they've put their trust in the gospel message. I want to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 because I want to read the gospel message that saves someone today. And this is the only thing that can actually save somebody during this dispensation. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, we're going to start here right at verse number 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, this message here, like I said, this is the only message that can actually save an individual today. And once a person puts their trust in this gospel message, they have the guarantee of their salvation because of the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to go over here to Ephesians chapter number 1, where the Apostle Paul is going to clearly define this sealing ministry here. I'm going to read verses 13 and 14 of Ephesians chapter number 1. Which say, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now we see here that the seal that keeps us in the body of Christ is as you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit actually functions as the seal that keeps us as a member of the body of Christ today. And if it's part of the Godhead that's actually keeping us in the body of Christ, there is nothing that can actually break that seal. That's why we have that guarantee of our salvation. And the Apostle Paul very clearly defines how long that seal lasts, how long we are kept in that salvation, when it says, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. We are kept as members of the body of Christ until the event that's known as the day of Christ, the event that some individuals will call the rapture. The scripture clearly identifies and calls it the day of Christ. That's the time that we have that guarantee of our salvation until that event occurs. And you know, it's such a glorious thing to truly realize this idea of that we have that guarantee of our salvation. And an individual, when the Apostle Paul's talking about this idea of that they turn to God, the only way that an individual is going to turn to God is going to be the end result of the Word of God actually working in an individual. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And we're going to see here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 where the Apostle Paul talks about the word working here. And in verse number 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So it's the word of God that is actually doing the work, that is making the change in the individual. That's why the Apostle Paul, you look in Romans chapter number 12, where it talks about, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." That transformation actually occurs as an individual is taking in the Word of God rightly divided, allowing the Word of God to work in them. There is a transformation that occurs in the Word working in them in that manner. And like I said, it's the only the Word can do this, because we see, let's go over to Romans chapter number 10, to where we see what the Apostle Paul says about the Word of God here. And here in Romans chapter number 10, we're going to read here verse number 17, which says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So the Word of God is what produces faith in the life of an individual. That's why it's the Word of God that's actually going to make a change. It's the Word of God which is actually doing the work. And we know from, you know, the passages in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter number 11, where it talks about the fact that, you know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we have to have faith in order to be pleasing to God. And the only way that we can have faith is by the Word of God. Now, the Apostle Paul very clearly identifies the issue of how it is that we are to be looking at the idea of the Word of God. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, to where we're going to see what the Apostle Paul says about his ministry and how he functioned. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, we're going to read here verse number 1, which says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So we, the members of the body of Christ today, are to be following the Apostle Paul as he followed Christ. Now we know how it is that the Apostle Paul followed Christ. As we know that the Apostle Paul didn't follow the Lord Jesus Christ according to the doctrine that's laid out in the Old Testament in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we know that the Apostle Paul followed the Lord Jesus Christ according to the doctrine that's been given to him. So we are to follow him in that exact same manner, following the Lord Jesus Christ according to the doctrine that's laid out, starting in the book of Romans and ending with the doctrine that we find in the book of Philemon. That's, if we apply that doctrine to our lives, then we are following exactly what the Apostle Paul's laid out here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 1. Now we see Paul, as he's talking about this local assembly in Thessalonica, he's talking about how they had been initially worshiping these idols, these false religious things, and how he's saying that they turned from that system into following the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to go over here. Let's go to Galatians chapter number 4 for a moment to look at. We're going to look at a couple of verses related to the idea of idols here. And in Galatians chapter number 4, we're going to read here in verse number 8, and it says, "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods." So here is Paul's talking about, you know, this church in Galatia. He's identifying this same manner of this worship that they had and worshiping things that were not clearly things related to God. You see, Paul talks about this type of thing. If we go over to Romans chapter number 1 here, and we look at this system that goes on here, we're going to start in verse number 18 of Romans chapter number 1, which says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things." So we see this assembly here, you know, as he's talking about this in general. This would have been a description of what had happened, you know, with these individuals in Thessalonica prior to their salvation. We see these things happening in man today, of how their viewpoint of God is really different from everything that the scriptures actually identify of what it should be. Now we can see Paul talk about this idol worship and to another assembly. If we go over to the book of 1 Corinthians, and we go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 here for a moment, where we're going to see Paul talk about this, and we're going to read the two first verses of the chapter here. So 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." So we see Paul, as he's talking to this local assembly, he's identifying the fact, you know, these are Gentiles that he's speaking to, and he says that ye were carried away unto these dumb idols. that's where they were prior to their salvation. Now, the scriptures talk about this idea of what idols really are. If we go over to the, let's go to the book of Psalms, or go to Psalm 115 here for a moment. And we're going to see something that the scriptures actually identify related to these idols. And we're going to start here at verse number 4 here of Psalm 115. It says, "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them." And so here we have the psalmist here as he's describing these idols and really talking about how they have no functionality, because, you know, they might have things that look like all of these things as he's describing these mouths and eyes and ears and noses, but the things that they have truly have no function and produce no real results. And that's what happens with this idea of idol worship, is that it produces no real results. And the Gentiles, you know, because of, you know, the plan of God that was laid out before information was given to the Apostle Paul, before this dispensation, the Gentiles were in a condition where they were completely outside of who God is. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 2, where we're going to see the Apostle Paul identify and describe how the Gentiles actually were here. We're going to read verses 11 and 12 of Ephesians chapter number 2. It says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." This is how the Gentiles actually were prior to the information has been given to us, prior to this dispensation. The only way that a Gentile could have any form of salvation would be to, for them to have joined themselves to the nation of Israel. Now, what the Gentiles did is, rather than do that, they set up their own false worship systems, created this idolatry. The idea of idolatry, it's a major problem because it creates a worship of things in an attempt to replace God. And that's what we saw, if you remember the passage in Romans chapter number 1, how the glory of God kept getting changed and how this worship just keeps going against everything that God truly intends for mankind. And, you know, we see this over and over through scriptures as time goes on. You see Israel fall into that trap several times in their history as well. You know, you can see that all the way back, even as the law was being given, you know, they were already setting up idols and worshiping them in place of God. You see, you know, this happening even today in the issues that come up of where, you know, things that, you know, shouldn't be worshipped actually are being worshipped. Things that, you know, whether it's, you know, in these, you know, things that individuals try to say is a faith that's equal to what the scriptures would talk about, or issues that individuals come up with inside of Christianity today, you know, these things all take away from what God is actually trying to do. And individuals even kind of create their own idols of things that really should not be. When you have things of, for example, sports are elevated into that manner, or politics, or looking at celebrities and those type of things, and not looking at the things of God. And that's really what idols do, is that they take individuals truly away from what God intends for individuals. And what God intends is, we see that the scriptures talk about this idea of the service that individuals are supposed to have. And I want to go over here as an example. Let's go to Acts chapter number 17 for a moment. And we're going to use this passage here as an example of something. And here in Acts chapter number 17, I want to start here in verse number 16. It says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Other some, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus in the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean.' For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, "To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you." And then he's going to start identifying this message of what he's declaring to them in verse 24. And it says, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temple with hands. Neither is worship with man's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." And he's continue on describing some things of what he's teaching them, as he's trying to give them some information of what's going to take them from this worship of this idol system that they've created for themselves, and take them from that and get them to the point of where they're worshiping God and are functioning properly. And the result of their functioning is that they're serving God exactly as God would have them do today. And that's really the important thing that we, as the members of the body of Christ, we need to understand for ourselves as well exactly what it is that God intends for us to do today. How is it that we are going to live the life that's going to truly be pleasing to God? And that's what actually what we are going to cover during our next episode, as we pick up here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse number 9. And we look at this idea of what the service would be that the individual members of the body of Christ is supposed to have today. Now, as we close out here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live as they're broadcast on Facebook Live. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. You know, before the end of the week, this week, we'll actually have some of the details related to our conference that's coming up during the first weekend in October, and we would love to, you know, hear from individuals and see them participate in this conference. It truly is going to be a blessed time to be able to gather together with the fellow saints and, you know, to worship and have that time fellowship. And as always, if you ever have any questions or comments about, you know, anything that's in any of these studies, anything that's on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you related to that. And so until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.